Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready?
I certainly am.
All right. You're already warmed up, man. Look at you.
Warmed up. I'm ready to go.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Our tribute to the UK. You know, Beav, every now and then, I like to give back to our people in the UK. I like to give back, more specifically, my people in the UK and your people, too. I know you have a flat there. The UK, they love me, and I like to give them what they want, the show at a reasonable time. At a reasonable time. This has nothing to do with anything I have going on today. A lot of people think that because of Sunday, you know, you got, you know, we got the Bengals playing, we got this, and this is why I want to go early. No, none of that. None of that. None of that. I do this to give back, all right? Give back to my people, my peeps, if you will. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it right here. My name is Eric Lorta. I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We've got a great show for you today. And if you want to call, 323-870-3857. And Beav, let's get started with it. Showtime pay-per-view. $85, Beav. $85. That's not chump change. $85. That's the high end. That is the high end of a pay-per-view nowadays. $79, you know, they're slowly creeping up. $85 for this one. And it should have been a good one. You got Charlo, who is always looking for a fight. You know, he's always looking for a fight outside the ring until he found one inside last night. And then all of a sudden, no Charlo to be found. Beav, what was that? It was awful. It really was. Alvarez smashed Jermell Charlo for 12 rounds. Let me tell you how lopsided this was. 119-108, 118-109 twice. I had the fight 118-109. At no point did Charlo press Canelo. At no point was this fight even close. I had to search for rounds to give Charlo. I actually gave him the first round. Both fighters landed like one punch or something like that. He just, he looked a little bit more active, looked like he was, you know, getting ready to box and do some damage, stuff like that. That was the last round, I think, up until maybe the 10th or 9th or something like that I gave him. I don't know.
Yeah, it was the 9th.
Yeah. Canelo dropped Charlo in the 7th with a right hand over the top. Looked like it hit him in the temple. Canelo cruised this entire fight. Charlo had no interest in mixing it up. He was happy to go the distance, and he fought like it. He fought like just a guy, your average guy, trying to get, you know, I'm just trying to go the distance. I'm not trying to press him. I'm not trying to get hurt. I'm not trying. More important, I'm not trying to win the fight. He's not trying to win the fight. That's the problem. That's the problem. You remember when Kell Brook moved up to fight Triple G? We all knew he was out of his element. We all knew he was going to be too small for it. But you know who didn't know that? Kell Brook. Kell Brook was in there, and he was swinging, and he was connecting, and he was at least trying to win that fight. Charlo wasn't trying to win this fight last night. Wasn't trying to win it at all. At all. And Charlo hit him a couple of times, and I think early, Charlo clipped him early with a couple of left hands and a couple of rights that hit flush. I mean, flush. These were solid shots. Canelo looked at him and walked straight toward him. He didn't have any answers for Canelo last night. And I don't know, Derek James, I don't know who put together that game plan last night, but there was no game plan. The game plan was to sprint around for 12 rounds. The game plan was not to get any exchanges for 12 rounds. You know, when you saw, that's right, it was Ahmed, analysis for this fight. It was an awful sparring session. If you know, you know, you came in with no plan B, what was your plan B here, guys? What was your plan B? You know what it was? It looked an awful lot like Spence's plan B against Crawford. He didn't have one either. So Derek James, now 0-2 here on big fights this year. And these were huge fights, Beeb. These weren't just like small fights. These were pay-per-view, big money fights. He's 0-2 because his guys did not have a plan B. And listen, he would have lost with a plan B too. Don't get me wrong, but there was no plan B there. He was happy to move around the ring. He was happy to not engage. He was happy to throw a couple of punches and just, you know, it was almost like the two had a gentleman's agreement. You don't hurt me. I'm not going to knock you out. We're going to go home and, you know, we're going to get paid and everything like that. You know what I mean? Babe, this was bad. This was $85 of nonsense, but this really was. And thank you, Florian Seigreist. I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. Did he have a comment there? Let's see. Now it's $80 with this super chat. There we go. All right. Yeah. That's right. Beeb had a you should have brought the people over. I should have just joined in there, and then we could have just done the show from there. Because he had a bunch of people watching. Beeb is the hardest working guy on the YouTube, man. On boxing YouTube,
thank you.
There's nobody better, man. There's nobody better.
Appreciate that.
So give me your take on this fight. Is it as bad? Was Charlo as bad as I'm saying he was? You're right. I agree with me, too. I agree with me, too.
Yes. I'm just trying to gather my words here because there's so much I want to say, but I want to say it is.
He sucks. I'll never watch him on pay-per-view again.
You know me. I don't like to kick him in when he's down. I don't like to add insult to injury.
Let's do it anyway.
But the guy pulled on himself. He said, I went the full 12 rounds. He knocks everybody else out.
Oh, wow. I didn't hear this part. I didn't hear, like, the after. I was.
Oh, he said it. Fight. He said it on more than one occasion.
Oh, man. That's
so what does that tell you right there?
That tells you a lot.
I'm just happy to go the 12. Yep. That's all I wanted. That was my goal, to go the 12.
Wow.
This wasn't Logan Paul versus Floyd Mayweather in an exhibition where it's
Logan
an eight-round fight.
Away.
Yeah. You know, and Logan Paul actually won three. I thought
we gave him the
won
fight.
That
we gave him the fight.
Gave him the fight. I don't care. We gave him the fight. But at the end of the day, leading up to this fight, the telltale signs were there. This was not Jermell Charlo that we're used to seeing at the press conferences, during the interviews. This was a guy, in my opinion, who looked intimidating. This was a guy, in my opinion, who looked as though I hit the lottery. I'm just happy to be here. And essentially, I believe he cashed himself out. And I hate saying that.
Yeah.
I'm not in there taking the punches. I'm not in there putting my life on the line, right? But there's a reason for that. I don't have your talent. I don't have your ability. I don't have your gifts, right? So you fought like somebody who was very intimidated and very tentative, right? You did land a left hook every now and then, but you threw under 400 punches. This is the first time in a long time. I can't remember the last time in a 12-round fight someone actually threw less punches than Canelo, who fights at a slow pace. And I said going in that style-wise, this was not a good matchup for Jermell, because he's not a volume guy. He hasn't been a volume guy. And his most recent fights have shown that his volume has actually gone down, right? So this was not the style matchup that would give Canelo problems, in my opinion, going in. And you saw, I also said he doesn't like both Charlos hate to fight on the inside. And you saw that as soon as Canelo got close, first thing he was grabbing, he was leaning over trying to grab, he was reaching out trying to grab this guy. He did not want to mix it up on the inside whatsoever. Fine, you're not a great inside
fine.
Fighter.
Fine. Got no problem with that.
But during the build-up, hearing him stutter during these press conferences, hearing him be overly complimentary, seeing videos in the past before the fight was signed, him calling Canelo all types of names that I don't even want to repeat, and then seeing this, I tried to talk myself into, well, maybe once the bell rings, maybe once he's under the lights, maybe once the adrenaline stops flowing, maybe some of that apprehension, maybe some of that intimidation, maybe the fight or flight kicks in, he fights. And he doesn't fight. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. And then adding insult to injury, saying what you said in the post-fight interview, and then doubling down on it during the post-fight press conference after I spent $85, you spent $85, many people in this chat spent $85, right? And then you say, I'm going to go fight Terrence Crawford. When prior to the fight, you said, what does Terrence Crawford do for me? What does Tim Tszyu do for me?
What do you do for them now?
A lot of people are going to turn around. Thank you, Eric. A lot of people are going to turn say, well, what does Jermell Charlo do for me after he just revealed to me that his goal in the biggest fight of his life is to just go the distance?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I'll never buy. I'm going to say right here, right now, and I mean this. I will never, ever, ever buy another Jermell Charlo pay-per-view in my life if he's headlining it. I won't
right,
do it.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely.
I won't do
what,
it.
This?
I will not
Are
do it.
Are you kidding me?
I will not do it.
I think I texted you in like the fourth or fifth round, and I said, could you imagine Crawford in here tonight with Charlo? Crawford would have put him out.
Crawford don't want to fight him now.
No. And Canelo, we had talked about Canelo having slippage. You know, we had talked about it because I said he's getting hit more than he used to get hit. And he's getting hit flush with these shots. Because Charlo hit him flush, no question, on more than one occasion, both hands. And he couldn't even move him. And you didn't have a plan B for that. Like his trainer, and his trainer, I believe, was telling him he was behind on the card. I don't know if his trainer was telling him how to get, you know, back to where he needed to be. But I know they were saying, hey, you're behind. You know, you're going to lose this fight. There was no, you know, and up until the last point, there was really no urgency. Like, the fight was even close. I'm like, come on. Now, you got to explain this because for those of you who just tuned in or whatever, Beeb was doing a show prior to this on this channel, of course, and he had the fight doctor on. I missed it. Unfortunately, I missed it, and I came in late. Why is the fight doctor? Do you have any context with this? Alvarez is a disgrace to boxing? Why is Alvarez a disgrace after last night? Are you kidding me?
I'm going to kind of unpack fight doctor's opinion.
Yeah.
And I don't agree with that 110%, but I guess
I don't know how anybody could agree with it at all.
His issue is the fact that Alvarez even fought Jermell in the first place, being the junior middleweight champion, and then not being able to get him out of there. And
he didn't want to get hit. He was running the whole fight. You can't put him away, you know? I mean,
I think my response to that is this. When you're giving somebody the amount of money that Alvarez is receiving to fight a guy like this, and even though the guy is moving up two weight classes, I think the expectation was he would do better than this.
Are you kidding? My expectation was Charlo would do better than this.
So the fight doctor was always disappointed in the matchup. Because he was vocal about that.
Yeah.
And he's also disappointed in the fact that Alvarez couldn't get him out of it. So,
Charlo fought?
I was more disappointed with Charlo than anything.
Yeah.
Right? And I didn't hate the fight.
When your guy goes into defensive mode, there's nothing you can do. You're not going to be able to put him away.
Yeah, I mean, this wasn't even defensive mode. This was like survival mode from the beginning. You know? And I'm not going to insult the guy. I'm not going to call him names.
You were online.
But the problem is...
You texted me
is by you.
I'm just saying.
The problem is... Blasphemy. The problem is, right, the comments afterwards. Maybe you should have kept that to yourself. I went the full 12. He knocked everyone else out.
Right.
Which is wrong because John Ryder went the full 12. But he suffered a severely damaged nose because he came forward and tried to win. You know? He was throwing punches with bad intentions. You know?
Thank you, Philly Drew. He says, sorry, but the fight doctor is biased most of the time. Well, maybe so. But
but we still love the fight, though.
Yeah,
he's a staple. He's been a staple with the show for a long time, so he has a right to his opinion. You know,
that's
the silly
Drew. I mean, you know, I get it. Fight Doctor, I know Fight Doctor doesn't like Canelo, but I mean, Jesus, you cannot be happy if you're a Charlo guy or anything like that with the performance that Charlo gave last night. That was strict defensive mode. He hit him a couple times. I think he, like, opened up with him a couple times and saw that wasn't going anywhere, and that was it, man. Awful. Just awful. Yeah, Clarissa, you're right. He looked like he was in sparring, working on his footwork. Yeah. Andrew Castellanos, thank you so much. He said, Canelo's the man. Wish he would have thrown the right hand straighter instead of looping it more and more head movement. I do believe. I really believe that he is slipping. You know, and Beav, you and I talked about this prior to this fight and a while ago, that he's getting hit more often. He's not moving as much. He's not moving his feet. So, you know what I mean? He comes at you. He's like that, you know, he's going to stand toe-to-toe with you. But he does get hit a lot more than he used to get hit. I think we all go back to that. Who was the guy? Danny Jacobs. Nearly impossible to hit. You know,
yeah.
I mean, he had great defense in that fight. I mean, his defense was on point in that fight. I'm not seeing that now. You know, and obviously it was a long time ago, but, you know.
I'll say this. He did get hit with a few shots. Jermell did land at a lower percentage. But I think, to your point, you were a little surprised at, like, when Jermell did land, how cleanly he landed, you know.
Yeah. Oh,
and I get it. I will say this. I do think when Canelo doesn't respect his opponent's power, he gets a little braver, and he'll take one to give one. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's the case with some of these guys. But I think if he's in there with someone that he feels is a threat, I think maybe he'll try to use more head movement. I think maybe he'll be a little bit more defensive minded. But this was a guy who he just was walking through. So, but I do think he slipped a little bit because the punches aren't as fluid. They're not coming out as sharp. Some of them are being looped a little bit. But he's still good enough to beat the majority of the guys out there.
Yeah.
I think David Benavidez beats him. I think David Benavidez is a guy who will enter that ring close to cruiserweight, and in doing so will still have the speed to go along with the size. He won't be sluggish.
Yeah.
And he's a guy who will bring volume. Now, you may argue, okay, yeah,
he's going to bite down on his mouthpiece, and he's going to fight.
Absolutely. Now, you may argue, will he be that volume machine that he is against Canelo, giving Canelo's counterpunching abilities? I don't know. I still think the Benavidez is a different type of animal when he's moving forward with that, where you've got those hands up high out front of his face. He's catching and shooting. Like, he's defensively – like, I think David Benavidez's defense is very underrated. Parries a lot of shots. He's good at catching and shooting. He's a guy who can come forward and be aggressive and still counterpunch at the same time moving forward. I see him walking guys down, going, catching shots, catching, knocking, and boom, coming over the top, you know, boom, coming over the top. He's really good. He's got quick reflexes, and he's very fluid with his punches. He's an outstanding body puncher. And here's a guy, right, that'll be shorter. So when you got a guy who's shorter, it's harder for the shorter guy to reach out and grab you. So Caliplant was reaching out and grabbing Benavidez because of the long torso, right? And, you know, Canelo is going to have to reach up to grab him. And Canelo doesn't do a lot of holding. So this fight would be very interesting because Benavidez will try to push the pace, right? Canelo will fight at a slower pace. Canelo tries to throw one punch at a time against Benavidez. And Benavidez is just catching that one shot and coming over the top with two or three or four, then it becomes a numbers game. So this fight showed that Canelo is still very formidable, but it also opens the door to suggest that what happens if he's in there with the bigger guy who's going to bring the pressure, who can possibly take the shot, who's going to be bigger and stronger and probably quicker. You could argue Canelo probably is a more sharper, maybe the harder puncher. But Benavidez is right there.
Yeah.
Benavidez can hurt Canelo, I believe. He can stun Canelo. Will he stagger him? Will he knock him out? That remains to be seen. But I think he brings enough power to get Canelo's attention where Canelo's not going to want to walk through the shots
right.
like he did against Plant, like he did last night. So this Benavidez fight, honestly, becomes extremely intriguing after seeing what I saw last night. I'll tell you one fight that does not look intriguing anymore is Canelo versus Crawford, because I'm not sure Crawford could hurt Canelo enough to stop him from going forward. And if Crawford can't hurt him, it may be a long night for him. You know, because Crawford does like to fight. He's not a guy who's going to go into survival mode.
No.
He's going to try to get his get back when he gets hit. And in trying to get your get back against a guy like Canelo, it could be dangerous.
Yeah.
So I'm not as intrigued by that Crawford fight anymore. I would have been more intrigued if I saw Charlo maybe put a chink in Canelo's armor, maybe buzz Canelo at least one or two times, or at least get his attention enough to stop him from going, you know, that forward momentum. But if Charlo can't even put a dent in Canelo, I'm not so sure that Crawford could either. You know?
I'm going to tell you this. After that fight last night, Crawford would never be the same. Or not Crawford, Charlo would never be the same.
Charlo, yeah. Yeah,
he's not easy. He won't be the same fighter. You saw it last night. It was almost like Canelo took his heart in a lot of ways by taking those big shots and just walking right through him, by muscling him, by big brothering him, and by the fact that at the end of the day, you know what it is. You know you didn't try to win that fight. You know you're trying to survive that fight. You weren't trying to win, and you know you weren't trying to win. You know you were trying to go the distance. You know. And that does stuff. I mean, that's got to shake your confidence, knowing that this guy is better than you. There was nothing you could do about it.
Not only that, let's take it a step further. The guy was already coming off of a long layoff. Wasn't really overly enthused of getting back in there, and he hit his lottery. He hit the lottery with the Canelo fight. That's why he got back in the ring, in my opinion. It was no rush to get back in the ring,
yeah.
In my opinion. From the circumstantial evidence that I've seen, right? He hit the lottery. So once you hit the lottery, what's your motivation after that? He's already made that. He's probably made enough money now where he doesn't have to fight again.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy owns his own gym. He's got a lot of nice things. Says he's invested a lot of his money. Now he just made a gigantic payday. He was already coming off of a long layoff. What's his incentive for wanting to go back and grinding it out again at 33 years old, right?
Right.
What's the incentive after that?
Yeah, nothing.
Can he get that fire back? Can he be that lion anymore? That's what you have to ask yourself. I say no. And then you're going to go back down to 154 after you're 6 feet, you're 33 years old. You've been in this division for like over 16 years. And now you're saying you're just going to go right back down to 154 and it's going to be a smooth transition back downward? You're probably legitimately 160-pounder right now. You're probably really struggling to get down to 154 at this point, right?
Clearly your power is not coming up.
Yeah, and then when you go back down, you're going to be depleted. Yep. You're going to be taxing your body. How durable are you going to be at 154, right? Now you want to fight Crawford because you think that's probably the last big money fight you have, which probably, I don't know how big of a money fight that is. I don't know how you sell
after
that fight.
After last night? You kidding me?
I don't know how you sell.
Not a money fight at all.
This was a guy who was on a pay-per-view with his brother, and what did they do, like 77,000 pay-per-view buys beforehand? And now, obviously, you know, this fight, I'm thinking, did some pretty good numbers off the back of Canelo. How does this guy profile increase,
it does
get bigger. This was a win in the bank account, but it was not a win in the profile. This was not a win with people believing in you being a paper. This did not make you a star. This did anything but make you a star. Now, you know, if you go back and look at the Devin Haney-Lomachenko fight, regardless of who you thought won that fight, that was a great fight.
Yeah.
People are going to watch Devin Haney now and say, damn, I want to see that guy fight again.
Yeah.
People are going to look at Lomachenko and say, oh, damn, that guy, that dude still has it. After you did a post-fight interview and said, well, I went the full 12 when this guy knocked everyone else out, basically revealing and telling on yourself that my plan was just to go to 12. I didn't really care if I won or lost, right? And this is my opinion, but it pretty much suggests those statements pretty much suggest that. If you're an objective, logical person, you can't take anything away but what I just said, right? That becomes obvious at this point that he just wanted to go to 12, right?
Yep.
How do you convince people that you're that guy? Right?
That's the thing. I mean, you can't now. I mean, really, like, what are you, you know, again, you talk about pay-per-view, you talk about, not even pay-per-view, really, just look at your next card. Like, who are you going to fight? You know, I mean, you just got demolished. It wasn't even close. It wasn't even like you just went out there and got knocked out in four rounds. At least people give you some respect for that. You know, you tried, you went away, you got knocked out, whatever. You didn't even try to win this fight. I mean, that was like, in a championship fight, and you're an undisputed, you're an undisputed champion, to lay down like that, to fight how you did, like, really?
There's one good thing that came out of this fight. And one thing only, the demand for the David Benavidez fight could not be greater.
Yeah.
Could not be greater.
Well, let's,
it
let's,
could not be greater.
Let's talk about that for a second. So that's the fight you and I want to see. That's the fight a lot of people want to see. Now, is he signed to PBC for three fights? Yeah, three?
Three.
Now, tell me about Charlo's brother at 160. He hasn't fought in like 2 years. But somehow apparently he's still the champion?
So listen to this now. They're saying he's going to come back against David Benavidez' little brother.
Okay.
Dave Benavidez.
Yeah.
That's the move.
Okay.
That's the rumor, but the rumor was pretty much close to being confirmed that's the move. He's going to come back and fight Jose Benavidez.
Somebody want to tell me how he just the title for 2 years not fighting?
Yeah, I can't explain it. I mean, you have to ask. I mean, I'm listening to Mauricio Suleiman try to say that. You know what I'm saying?
He's another one.
Like,
you know, is just concerned with marketing, not what he's actually doing. Because he's done a great job marketing. I mean, everybody knows the big green belt. You know?
Yeah.
But as far as actually running an organization, I think he leaves a lot to be desired there. You know, he ought to hire somebody else to run the organization and maybe put him in charge of marketing. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, So... Okay, so that's the plan. So let me ask you this. If Charlo, the other Charlo, has got his dance card full, let's say Benavidez doesn't happen, where do we go? I mean, really, where do we go? Realistically, where do we go?
I don't believe you have anywhere to go. That's why I'm happy that this directs us. And I'll explain to you why. And this is just, again, always opinion. You fought a smaller guy. You can't sell the small guy coming up anymore. Again, after this, if this was somewhat competitive, if this was an 8-4 decision, or if this was like a spirited effort from Charlo, then you can, and he lost in a spirited effort where Canelo showed a little bit of vulnerability and Charlo had some success. Then you could sell the Crawford fight. But Crawford's got to fight Spence next, right? Seems like they're trying to get out of that fight by having the fight be at 147 and hoping that Spence rejects it. That's what I've been hearing.
Yeah,
that's what's been put out
like.
There. That's what it kind of looks like. Again, opinion. Steve, how the fuck do you? No, opinion. See, the difference between Eric and I is when we have an opinion, we say opinion. We don't go out there like, you know, we're in the room
like
and we had a conversation.
Right.
Yeah, we don't say it. So this is opinion. Okay? So if you don't have that, I think that fight will happen at 154, unfortunately, next year with Spence and Crawford. So that ties up. So that'll probably tie up CrossFit.
Well, the rematch,
right?
The rematch is at 147. They have to agree to go to 154. It's not just
correct.
But the rematch itself is at 147, I thought.
The way Crawford explained it is the rematch will stay at 147 unless Spence requests and states that he can no longer make 147. Crawford said he didn't do that yet. Now, if Crawford wants to kind of work that out with him and give him some leave, I don't know how that's going to play out. But as it stands right now, Crawford is implying that he's going to be that he wants to fight at 147, and people in his camp have been vocal about saying that, right? So if that's the case, is that a way for Crawford to try to get Spence to turn the fight down so Crawford can go in another direction? That's what I want to know. Now, I don't want to see Crawford versus Charlo. I don't want to see that now. I don't. I don't think it's competitive.
Not
I don't think
all.
It's competitive.
Not even a little bit. I don't even know that Tim Tszyu versus Charlo is competitive.
Well, I think Tim Tszyu, I always thought Tim Tszyu beat Charlo, but now I'm even more sure of it.
Where does he go from here? I mean, realistically, where does he go?
So the thing that could happen here is I just think Canelo has nowhere else to go now but Benavidez, because Samson was at the fight. Mauricio Suleiman implied that he's on the verge of ordering the mandatory soon. So it looks like the stage is set for Benavidez. I'm really, really optimistic and confident that Benavidez is next, because I don't see any other avenue. Like, who are you gonna fight? David Morrell? Guy's really, he's not well known. He's not the mandatory in the WBC. Like, the most perfect scenario, in my opinion, would be fighting the WBC interim champ, the guy who's been the guy right beneath you for like 2 years now, right? And if Benavidez beats a guy like Andre in November, I'm hearing that fight is targeted for November 4th. That's what I'm hearing. If that fight happens November 4th and Benavidez wins, which I believe he will win, I don't think Andre wins that fight. I just don't. I think this is a horrible style match for him, but no.
It's a good fight.
If he wins that
That's
fight,
a good fight.
He wins that fight. If he wins that fight, then Benavidez will have a good year coming off a year of beating Plant and Andre, right? He'll have
top
momentum.
Two top guys.
Two top guys. He would have done what a lot of boxing fans asked him to do, what Canelo asked him to do, go out there and beat some good fighters, right? He will have done that. So he would have earned his shot unequivocally now.
Yeah.
And I just think that now people don't want to see Canelo in there with another guy that they think he can just beat easily, walk over. Canelo needs this Benavidez. Well, he doesn't need it financially. I mean, he's set. But in the court of public opinion, in the people's eyes, I don't think they're going to want anything else but Benavidez right now after what we saw yesterday. I don't think you can sell us anything else.
I'll tell you what, and it's funny you say that, because I think you can. I think you can. Now, you can't sell the hardcores on anything else.
Okay.
Because you and I both think that Benavidez has earned this shot. He's earned this shot, and we think he's got a real good shot. We don't think he's going to lay down like the others. I think he will, and he's not going to be in awe of Canelo either. And I think that's what happened last night. It's almost like Mike Tyson walking into that ring last night, because Charlo looked scared to death for the full 12. He just had that aura. When Canelo came in, he was just like starstruck almost. You could see it in his face. And somebody mentioned in the chat, and I think maybe tongue-in-cheek, but what about this? From a promoter's standpoint, how about Errol Spence versus Canelo in Texas Stadium? That's a big one. Whether we like it or not, and we all saw what happened to Errol Spence. And, listen, he was at that weight forever. He shouldn't have been at that weight. He should have moved to 154, 160. He's a lot bigger walking around than what you see him at 147. He's too big for 147. That's the way, if I'm a promoter, I'm going to spin that fight. He was drained that fight. That's why you saw what you saw. That's why he didn't take the rematch at 147. So what's he going to do? He's going to prove it to everybody by going up in weight in his hometown and beating Canelo in Dallas Stadium. Now, Dallas Stadium, everybody comes there to see Canelo. Half of them are there to see Spence. That stadium sells out. That's a huge, huge fight, money-wise. I think that's a big fight, and I think it's a fight that can be sold. Do I want to see that fight? No. No, I don't want to see that fight. But as far as if I put my promoter hat on and I say, hey, you know what? If we don't want to go this route, we can go this route, and I think this will sell. You know, you think about the WBC. If Canelo doesn't want it done, Benavidez isn't the mandatory. Mauricio Suleiman ate a lot of garbage to get back into the Canelo good graces. There was a long time where Canelo didn't want anything to do with him. And then he got with him. Oh, no, we're going to do this for you. We're going to do that for you. And now they get along. Now Canelo is the best thing since sliced bread for the WBC. Canelo doesn't want it. It doesn't happen. And that's the bottom line. So if he gets put to mandatory, it's because Canelo asked for it. That will be his next fight. But if he doesn't, that's a huge money fight.
I see.
They love Spence in Texas, man. And they love Canelo in Texas. Huge.
I'm not sure if people will get behind that now. It's like you're going to fight, instead of fighting Crawford, you're going to fight the guy that lost to Crawford. I don't think you can play. Here's the thing, man. I just don't think you can play the size game anymore. Like, oh, well, if this guy was bigger, he would be better. I don't even think the casual, I don't even think Spence's biggest fans will be comfortable seeing him fight Canelo now after seeing him get knocked out by Crawford like that. I think that's a hard sell.
Bad knockout.
Yeah, I think it's a very, very hard sell in my opinion.
For me and you, I think it's a hard sell. For everybody else, the casual guys out there, I'm not 100 of the casual fans.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure. I'm not so – listen,
I don't know.
What was the fight we were talking about over in England, Chris Eubank, and who was the other one?
Conor Benn.
That's a terrible fight. You and I both know that's a terrible fight. Anybody talking about it knows it's a terrible fight. Guess what? That fight is huge. England.
Yeah, in the UK. There's no way, in my opinion, Conor Benn can beat Chris Eubank Jr.
I don't see it either. You and I, neither one of us see it. And both of us look at this and say, what are you, stupid? This is a mismatch, right? Complete mismatch. But it's huge in the UK. And they're smart people. They know it's a mismatch too. But it's just, again, you take those fan bases, you know, and you put them in Texas, like a hometown guy from Texas, the Mexican contingent in Texas. I mean, it's a groundswell of people. It's beautiful. I mean, from a promotional standpoint.
Here's the problem. You still have to sell this fight outside of Texas to the pay-per-view. And that's where casual fans
drive the pay-per-view. You know, casual fans drive the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I don't know if Spence is going to get that casual fan right now. I don't.
Yeah. And listen, Benji, I know nobody's behind the idea. Listen, I'm not behind the idea. You know, nobody's behind the idea. However, it's a money thing, you know, and if he doesn't fight Benavidez, then what?
I'm going to go on a limb right now, and I'm going to say I'm close to 100% sure he fights Benavidez next.
I think that's the logical choice.
I think everything points to that.
Yeah, I think that's a logical choice.
And I think he'll do it too.
The Deion Sanders crowds. There you go.
And he loves, in my opinion, I think he's salivating right now at the fact of fighting a guy like Benavidez who's going to come to him and bring the fight to him.
Yeah.
After having a fight like this, he's probably saying to himself, I need a bigger challenge than this, number one, because I do think he wants to challenge himself. I do take him at his word when he says, I want challenges. I believe him.
Anybody who fights like that and has got as much money as he has, I mean, he's still, look at him. I mean, he's still a monster.
I believe he's built that way, right? I think he's a special individual.
Yeah.
Right? People don't want to admit it, but I believe that. Call me naive. I believe he does want challenges. That's number one.
Yep.
Number two, to be in an exciting fight that the fans will appreciate. He does care about entertaining the fans. He does. So this is a win-win on all fronts. He gets paid. He's in there with a style matchup that's preferable to him. And he's also going to be in a fight that more than likely is a can't miss in terms of entertainment value for the fans.
Yeah.
I think he would jump at this fight right now. I think right now is the perfect time for this fight because David Benavidez is 26 years old and he is busting out at the seams at 168.
Yeah.
Now you could say, oh, we're going to age Canelo out. That's all well and good. But you're also going to age yourself out by staying in a division too long. Because we saw what happened with Spence in doing that, right? You don't want to ruin yourself. So you got to get that fight done next, right? Before you move up, you got to get that fight done next before you move
up. Yeah, I think so too. I would like to see it. You know what I mean? As far as what's next, I mean, honestly, Jermell Charlo, where does he go from here? I think he goes back to 154, but I mean, is him and Crawford still a big fight after this?
No.
I don't think it is. No. You know, I think it would be a hard sell. Neither one of those guys are huge pay-per-view guys. You know, it'll be on pay-per-view, but again, neither one of them are huge pay-per-view caliber guys. I want to see Crawford
right
in boots. If he stays at 147, I want to see Crawford in boots.
Yeah, me too.
If he goes to 154, then we'll see Crawford and Charlo.
If Charlo is going to go back down to 154, fight Tim Zhu. That was the fight you were supposed to fight before this.
But
fight
bigger,
Tim Zhu.
Bigger money fight's going to be Crawford, and that fight can actually happen. You know, the Tim Zhu fight can actually happen. Don't get me wrong. I just he's going to want money. He's going to you're going to go after the money fight, and that's the logical money fight.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Who do you think wins right now between Benavidez and Canelo? If you were forced to pick.
Canelo looked really good last night. He did look really good. No question about
that
it.
That version of Canelo versus the version of Benavidez versus Plant.
Listen, I've always thought that David Benavidez would give him a good fight, that he's a little bit bigger, might even be a little bit stronger. May not punch as hard, but I think he can definitely rough him up on the inside. It's a close fight. I think it's a close fight. I edge toward Benavidez because he's naturally a bigger guy.
Yeah,
this guy can fight too.
That.
He's rangy. He's a good boxer. You know,
I got Benavidez too.
Yeah,
I got Benavidez
too.
Yeah,
I think so. Let's talk about the undercard real quick, and then we'll hit the phones real quick. Jesus Ramos Jr. versus Erickson Lubin. Ramos Jr. came in with a lot of hype behind him. 115, 113, 116, 112, 117, 111. Well, the winner, Erickson Lubin. That's right. If you saw the fight, you were probably shocked too. I had it 117, 111 for Ramos, man. This fight was an IBF eliminator. So there you go. I thought Ramos got this fight. I thought even though the announcer was like, there has to be some kind of mistake, you know. Yeah.
What did you think? How did you score the last – excuse me, how did you score the last four rounds?
I think I had it maybe split maybe. I think I gave because I had it 117, 111. I gave Lubin, what, four rounds, three rounds? Yeah, that was it. I thought it was pretty dominant. I really did, man. I thought he was just dominating that fight. I mean, for the hype that Ramos had coming in, and he was really favored, you know, I thought that he did pretty well. I thought he won the fight.
Do you think he took his foot off the gas in rounds 9 through 12 a little bit?
Maybe he just got tired.
Was there anything that Lubin did that you think made him change the way he was fighting?
No.
Forced him?
No.
Yeah, so I didn't really see any adjustment that Lubin made. I just saw him become a little bit less aggressive for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he wasn't tentative, but he was standing in front kind of like just posing a little bit, and I'm like, I don't know. I mean, and I understand, but like being concerned about what's coming back, but there really wasn't a lot coming back from Lubin either. So like, you're like this, and why not just at least touch him with something while you're doing this?
And he may have gotten hit. He may have gotten hit, and he didn't want to get hit again. I mean, there's power there. I mean, Lubin can hit too, man.
Yeah.
He's
so I don't know what made him change up from rounds 9 through 12. I'd love to ask him.
Yeah.
But I was a little bit perplexed with how that fight changed in the last four rounds.
Jordan Tsougas versus Mario Barrios. Barrios wins a unanimous decision, 118-107 twice and 117-108. He's now the WBC interim welterweight title holder, Mario Barrios. This was the best I've seen Barrios look. He was the underdog here. He's always the underdog. In every big fight he's in, he seems to come up just a little bit short. He fights well, but comes up a little bit short. And last night, you had to feel good for him. You had to feel good.
I was surprised at Ugas a little bit. He seemed a little bit his reflexes seemed to have gone a little bit. A lot of snap was gone out of his punches. His timing was off.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what angered the shit out of me. After the ninth round, that eye was entirely closed.
That was bad.
He could not see out of that. Then he goes back to the corner, and we got to hear from Ishmael Salas how much of a warrior he is, knowing he can't see out of that eye. Then the doctor's looking at that eye and just puts a light in it. Whatever happened to closing the good eye and then exposing the bad eye and going like this with the finger? Because if you did that, guess what? He would not have been able to follow that finger. He could clearly not see out of that right eye after round 9, and nobody did a fucking thing about it.
Oh.
This is what pisses me off about all PED pearl clutchers and virtue signals. Oh, someone could die in there. Yeah, someone could die in there, but it's okay to let someone go out there who can't see out of one eye, and he's a sitting duck, and he's down 7-2.
He's not
going to
win that fight. Yeah, he's not winning that fight.
He's not
going
to win the fight. And he's just catching shots because he can't see out of it. You could clearly see that he was catching shots because he couldn't see what was, like, that eye was poked. But everyone doesn't, no one gives a fuck about that. Oh, yeah, he's a warrior.
Cares.
Get the moral victory by going to 12. Where are all you pearl clutchers now? You virtue signalers now? He could not see out of that fucking eye. And his advice was when he went back to the corner, you're a warrior. Look what Tony Margarito, who's got an artificial lens in his right eye after the Cotto incident, right? The first fight started the damage. Then he fought Pacquiao, and then the fucking same eye was flapping around.
Yep.
Then in the third fight, the eye's like this. That guy's got, like, cataracts in his eye. That eye will never be the same. Like, you got to make calculated decisions. Whether or not you care about the future, and instead of focusing on that moment in time, that snapshot in time of getting that moral victory.
Right.
What is that? At what cost does that moral victory become more important than the sight of your eye, than your brain cells later in life?
Yeah.
This was not a fight where it was on the table. This is not a guy who has one-punch knockout power. He was not going to win this fight. So there was no sense of letting this fight go on after round 9, in my opinion.
No.
It was utterly ridiculous.
None. Awful. You know. And then across the pond, Otto Wallin versus Murat Gassiev. Wallin beat Gassiev by a split decision, 115-113 twice, and then 117-111 for Gassiev. Steve, this was your special. You called this one, no?
I did.
You called it.
Live, Wallin.
Yep.
Wallin was a +240. A lot of people thought that Gassiev was going to win. I just think Wallin's quicker, slicker, more elusive, all-around better boxer. I thought he would, you know, be the craftier of the two. Gassiev, I've never really been impressed with him at heavyweight.
Yeah.
Gave Usyk a good fight at cruiserweight, but not the quickest guy on his feet. Needs to close the distance to get to you. He's an aggressive guy, but if you give him a little bit of movement, you force him to keep having to shuffle his feet. You could deal with them a little bit. And Wallin has that style, that southpaw style, that slick southpaw style where he, you know, can move and give you those angles.
Yep.
And he, that was what the doctor ordered, man, for Wallin. I mean, that was a bad style for him. And I thought he, you know, it showed in the fight.
Yeah. You did a good job on that pick, man. I saw that right before the fight went on. I was like, all right, man. See. All right. Let's bring on Ringside Robert here. Robert, what's up?
Hello, guys.
What's up?
I tell you what. That fight was majorly disappointing.
Don't sound so enthused. I know it's like, what time is it over there? 8 o'clock? But show some freaking enthusiasm. Don't come on here like you just rolled out of bed.
Sounded like you just rolled out of bed, Robert. There was no enthusiasm.
Drink a cup of coffee or something before you come on.
Come on, man. We need you hyped up when you come in here. I don't need wake up, Robbie. I need woke Robbie.
No, I know. But seriously, that fight was majorly disappointing last night. You know, and I cannot argue a single point that you guys made because they all make sense. Charlo going back to 154, he's going to be a disaster. And I don't think if Terrence Crawford moves to 154 and he wants the titles, he's going to have to fight Charlo, but that's not an interesting fight. Crawford will have his way with him. I learned something new. I thought the rematch with Spence was going to be at 154 because that's when the announcement was made. When Spence activated the rematch clause, the announcement was made, okay, this fight's going to be at 154. I'm learning in the original deal I didn't realize it was put at 147, so it'll be interesting to see what happens with that.
Yeah, I think so too. Where do you think Jermell goes from here? Does he go back down to 154 to fight Crawford? And is that a sellable fight?
No, that's easy work for Terrence Crawford. But hell, after what I saw last night, it'll be easy work for Tim Tszyu.
I think so too.
You know, the way it looks to me now is that this was PBC's way of cashing out Jermell Charlo.
Wow, that's rough.
I think Jermell Charlo cashed himself out last night. He got
to
go the distance.
Yeah.
That's the way it looked. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you got to wonder. I wonder if both Charlos have decided they no longer want to fight anymore, you know, because you got Jermell in here. The only reason why he got in the ring is because of the biggest payday of his life. And you've got all this stuff going on with Jamal. We really don't know what's going on. It'll be interesting to see, you know, when he comes back, how he looks.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it will. I think
it
will.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and as far as the Lubin, Lubin fight and the Ugas fight, I don't know what kind of fights the judges were seeing. I had Ramos winning easily, and I don't know why those three judges didn't see that. That's all I can say about that.
Yeah, I don't either.
I couldn't agree with you more. With somebody that was born with eye problems, that fight should have been stopped after the ninth round. I mean, my God.
Mm-hmm.
I have sympathy for anybody that suffers a major eye injury and their corner doesn't protect them or the doctor doesn't protect them. Disgraceful. Anyway, that's all I've got. I want to see Canelo and Benavidez next. And I think David Benavidez has a wonderful chance of winning. I can't wait.
There you go.
Let me ask you this before you go.
Okay.
You ever going to buy a Jermell Charlo pay-per-view ever again? You ever going to buy another Jermell Charlo pay-per-view ever again?
I don't want to. I'll put it that way.
He will, though. He will.
What the fuck kind of answer?
He'll pay for it when he fights
It's not like I'm asking you if you're going to get a colonoscopy. I know you don't want to, but you have to. I mean, I'm not asking you something like that.
I'll put it to you this way, B. If he fights Terrence Crawford, yeah, I'll get that. But other than that, no.
There you go.
Yeah, but he already told you he's just going to go in there to try to get the fight a full 12. You're just going to go in there for a payday at this point.
Well, I think Terrence Crawford will get rid of him. I don't think it'll go to the full 12.
Okay. Fair enough.
There you go. All right, Robert, I'm going to put you on hold here. 516, you're live.
What's up, guys? It's Jesse. What's going on?
Jesse, what's happening?
Show this morning. Freaking, you know.
Talking about this show or the one he did beforehand? Which one? I think you got to clarify. He's done two
more
shows.
Shows
now.
Both shows were great.
Perfect. That's right.
Ringside Report is number one. You know, I think I could see what Fight Doc was saying a little bit too. Like, you know, I don't know. There was no killer instinct there in Canelo. Like, I really wanted him to get rid of him. The crowd is chanting for the knockout. It just becomes a knockout fight at that point. Does Canelo knock him out or does Jermell survive, right? If Canelo knocks him out, we would probably be favoring him against Benavidez. But the fact that he couldn't get him out of there, now we're leaning towards Benavidez, you know? But, I mean, I get it. Canelo did his job. I don't think I gave Charlo a round at that. I mean, you know, it was a waste of $86. Ugas,
yep.
You know, Ugas fight should have been stopped. That eye was done. Lubin shouldn't have won that fight, you know. So, you know, I mean, did Canelo do his job? Yeah.
Sounds like you want your money back, Sounds like you're going to be calling Comcast. You're going to be calling Comcast Monday morning and asking for your money back.
No,
you're going to tell them you saw some snow. Tell them you saw some snow on your screen. That you need your money back.
Yeah, it was a little snowy. I'm going to have to get my money, you know.
I was going to say, was I satisfied with spending $87 on that pay-per-view? No, to be completely honest.
No.
But,
no, it wasn't.
You
it wasn't. In hindsight's 2020. In retrospect, no, it wasn't worth it.
No way. Not for him to show up and fight like that, no.
Yeah. Did you guys think that Charlo kind of ducked that Tim Tszyu question? You know, they asked him about Tim Tszyu, and then he automatically called out Crawford. Like,
there's no money. There's no money in Tim Tszyu, though. There's no money in it. So he doesn't want that fight. I mean, listen, you got two guys that want to fight you. One, you're going to make enough money to go to the moon. One, you're going to make enough money to get groceries. Which one are you going to take? You're going to take the high money
fight.
Yeah,
but the Tim Tszyu fight is the more realistic fight of him actually winning.
Yeah, but he doesn't care about that.
I think he beats Tim Tszyu.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I think he's got a better shot against Tim Tszyu than Terrence Crawford, but. Cares.
I don't think he beat either one of them.
Oh.
No, I think Tim Tszyu wins also, but I'm just saying I think the competitiveness is more there with Tim Tszyu than it is with Crawford.
I think I think the bigger question is this. Did he earn a fight with Terrence Crawford after this performance last night? And I think most people would say no. Like would the people over at PBC after what he did last night, would they reward him with a Crawford fight?
They will,
because Crawford becomes the A side now, in my opinion, in that whole situation.
Yeah, they will. They will, because that's the biggest money fight that can be made. I mean, it just is. I mean, there's more money in that fight than any other fight right now for either guy. That's the fight. That Spence rematch isn't going to, you know. That's why they're trying to get rid of that Spence rematch and just go to Crawford, because he's not going to fight. I mean, you know what I mean? If they're saying it's going to be at 147, that's going to be the catalyst. He doesn't want to come down to 147. He knows it. All right, Jesse,
now,
we're going to get rid of that. Thank you so much. Thanks so much for the call. 760-760, you're live.
Fella.
760.
Hey, what's going on, fella?
Hello?
Top of the morning. Can you hear me?
What is everybody with the What is everybody like? Wake up, everybody. We go to you. Be ready. What is this? This is horrible for production.
I got
to
agree with you, babe.
I'm getting people in the production truck in my ear saying, what's up with these insomniacs calling in?
Brian, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you guys. Can you hear me?
God damn it.
Go, fuck.
Fuck.
Can you hear me?
Oh, my God.
Yes!
No, I cannot hear you. Can you hear him, Beeb? I can't hear him.
Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? what's going on. I just wanted to talk about the fight from last night. You guys,
he had
man.
To go back and start over. We've heard you.
You guys are cold, man. Hey, man.
Then he wonders why you cut him off. He just spent 10 minutes asking, can you hear me?
All right, Brian, we're going to get running, man. Thank you so much for the call.
Go ahead, Brian. Please, go.
Hey,
speak.
Look,
say
look,
something.
Man.
Order
look,
a coffee
hey.
Or something. Do something.
Something.
Okay, I'm trying to talk, Beebe. You
be entertaining.
Now, look. Look, man. I wasn't in on this fight, okay? I wasn't in on the fight because I thought it was going to be a mismatch because he got to move up. Weight classes and all that. And, you know, what the fight doctor was saying this morning, I kind of agree with him. However, you know, Charlo got an interview where he's talking about he going to beat his ass if he fight like how he did on his last fight. So Charlo was talking shit. So it's like, you know, for him to go out there and perform like that, Charlo, it kind of lines up with the build-up, right? Because I'm like, he's showing Canelo too much respect. You know what I'm saying? He was just showing him way too much respect, like almost like kissing his ass and not trying to make him mad. You know what I'm saying? And that's how the fight played out. It was predictable. You know, I knew it was going to play out like that because of the buildup, you know? But, you know, I just, in the little moments Charlo did something, I think he did okay when he did something, but he mostly ran during the fight. That was the problem. You know what I'm saying? He just ran. And, you know, all that shit talking he did and all that running in the fight, you know, I agree with you, Beeb. I don't know if he's going to get a big one after this one.
Yeah.
He is, because there's still money to be made off it. You're talking about an undisputed champion. 147 and 154, 154 and 147, both undisputed. It's a money
yeah.
fight. It
I mean,
it's
you know,
money
it's
fight. They're both good names.
Fight. It's interesting, yeah. but I don't think it's big. You know, it's not like big.
The,
people ain't going to be like.
It's huge. It's huge for Crawford because he's gonna melt Jamel down. You know, and he's going to be 147,
yeah.
undisputed at 147 and 154.
Yeah, that would be
That's
a good.
Insane.
Yeah, yeah. That would be good for Crawford. But as far as just it being a big fight is what I'm saying, I don't think it would be a big fight after that last performance, you know, with what happened with Charlo. So he fucked up, man. He should have just fought Tim Tszyu, you know, but like you guys said, it ain't no money in it. But that was a more winnable fight for him than to fight Canelo. And to be honest with you, man, I think that both them brothers cashed out last night. You seen the other brother showed up at the fight. He's told him, he was like, hey, man, don't get knocked out so we can cash that check tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? Both of them, they both cashing out on that fight last night. Both of them.
Brian, let me yeah. ask you a question. I'm going to give you an invitation because I am the leader of the I'm the leader of the Fura Maniacs. Would you like
oh,
to join
shit.
The Fura Maniacs now? Now that you know that we're going to take out Usyk during Riyadh season, do you want to join the Do you want to join the Fura Maniacs? Do you want to? You want to
I'm
be
glad you brought this up.
You want to be part of the
hey.
Cause? You want to be part of the cause?
Hey, Eric, this goes to
yes.
show B got selective. Outrageous because when anybody else announces a fight and they don't have a date and a venue, right? Beeb is like, oh, this shit ain't real. It ain't real.
Yeah,
it ain't really
I gotta agree with him, Beeb. Yeah,
sudden,
you're always the first conspiracy theorist at the dance,
do,
son.
He always. Do that, but on this, it's an exception, even though they don't have a date and a venue, right? Come on.
All right,
Beeb.
Let's talk. Brian, let me put you on hold. Let's talk about that for a minute, Beeb. All right, so. We got Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury and Usyk is on, according to Mike Coppinger, which is, you know, he hates his credibility, says he's not credible at all. The fight could take place on December 23rd or sometime in January. Fury has to smash Ngannou first, which he will. Maybe he takes some damage. It's being reported by Coppinger, but this time I actually believe it. I think December 23rd, I don't think it happens that soon. I think it goes in January or February. But both fighters, it's all over fighter social media and everything like that, so I do think there's something to it. Beeb, let me have it.
Let's go down the list of people who confirmed this. Okay, the chairman of entertainment in Saudi Arabia, His Excellency Turki Alasheikh, personally tweeted this out, that this fight is happening.
Got to be true then. I mean, you know.
He had his arm around Usyk saying that this fight is happening. Usyk tweeted this out. Usyk's promoter, Alex Krawczyk, tweeted this out. The best promoter of all time, Bob Arum, tweeted this out. The second best promoter of all time, Frank Warren, tweeted this out. Everybody and their brother tweeted this out. And Tyson Fury FaceTimed me yesterday morning and told me that this fight was happening. So we got it from the greatest heavyweight of all time himself, told me this fight is happening. I believe. And as the leader of the Furomaniacs, I cannot lie to my constituents.
Can I just interject something real quick? Wasn't it you who questioned Steven Espinoza that the Tank and Garcia fight was not going to happen, even after Espinoza said, yes, it's been confirmed, signed, sealed, delivered? Well, I believe that was you. Maybe I had it mixed up. I think it was you who questioned Espinoza, friend of the show, by the way, and said, I don't believe you.
That was a misunderstanding.
Simple misunderstanding.
Sometimes, you know, it's just like when you make a date with a honey dip, you get the dates crossed up, and you know, and she shows up, you're not there.
I
put the wrong date on the calendar. It's a simple mistake.
It happens all the time.
You gonna hold me accountable for that?
Of course not. Why would I? Why would I? Absolutely. We don't hold each other accountable. Come on, don't be silly.
But it's one thing when the Furomaniacs, right?
Sure.
Are all behind. We're all in unison right now. You can't stop the Furomaniacs. Once we all combine together, right? Once we all combine together, we're a force that just cannot be stopped.
D-Style, thank you so much. He said the greatest heavyweight of all time isn't alive. How did he say that to you, Beeb? Who is the greatest heavyweight of all time?
Tyson Fury.
I think so, too. That's just me. Like I said it last week, man, the guy fighting today is the best today. He's the best guy ever.
Shakur Stevenson is a young guy. What's he, like 24 years old?
Yeah, he's probably
even
like us.
Even he says Tyson Fury would beat Muhammad Ali. Sylvester Stallone said it. Joe Rogan said it.
Sylvester Stallone pretends to be other people in real life. How is he credible at all?
He was himself on that day. And he says.
He was himself on that day.
That was a perfect setup. That was good. Thank you.
He was himself.
Again, you guys want to put those rose-colored glasses on. And you want to have this romanticized view of everything in the past is better than today.
It's not true.
Back when we were in school and we had to walk 7 miles in the snow, that's when class really was important. No. Enough with the nostalgia. Let's deal with reality. You have 6'9" of pure fury, pure adrenaline, pure versatility. A guy's 270 moves around the ring like a gazelle. He's ambidextrous. He dodges punches like Neo in the Matrix. He can grab you and wrap you up like a grizzly bear and rustle you and throw you around the ring like a rag doll. Goes to the body, fights you inside, outside, mid-range. I mean, this guy is a nightmare. He's a nightmare.
Do you ever see those videos or like posts or whatever that say, man, I wish I was a kid back in the 60s or 70s or 80s again? You know, it was such a simpler time. It's a better time than this.
It's all nostalgia.
Let me tell you this. I grew up in the 80s. I love the 80s. It was great. Fine. Whatever. I love the child. All right. We had some good times. There is no time like the present to be alive. None. You kidding me? Are you kidding me? I got a watch that can tell my heartbeat. I got, you know, I could watch any fight I ever want to watch on TV. I got, you know, you got Xbox. You got all the stuff. You got those glasses, the virtual reality glasses you can wear and be immersed in things. But playing stickball in the yard was somehow better than that. Stop it. Stop it.
Are you going to tell me that this Note 10 Plus that I've had since 2019 is
right?
going strong? That's better than a Nokia flip phone?
Stop it.
Are you going to compare?
Stop it.
This 6.8 screen?
Better than a rotary phone?
When I do the Geekbench 5 test, I'm getting 24 Exynos speed on this thing.
It's very
You're going to compare this to a flip phone?
Come on, stop it.
Cut it out, man.
Stop.
I don't want to hear it.
I mean, are you kidding me? All the high-tech computers and technology?
Technology is so great that even this, I don't have to upgrade. Look at this beast of a phone. Look at it.
It is kind of thick, though. I don't know. You ought to get
this
a new
thing,
one.
This
the new ones
works
are thinner.
Like a charm.
Yeah, you probably ought to upgrade. I mean, it is a 2019. Yeah.
I got to give a shout-out. I got to give a shout-out to Sutter Kane. He just texted me. He asked me to give him a shout-out, and I'm going to give him one because I told him Charlo was going to get knocked out in 9 rounds. He said, B, Charlo's going to go into survival mode. He's going to last to the full 12. It's going to be a boring 12-round unanimous decision. He called it to a T. He said Charlo would go into survival mode, which he did, in my opinion, and it was not a very eventful fight. So shout-out to Sutter King. He did call it.
There you go.
Sorry to interrupt
there. No. Cut West, life is better. Life in the 90s is better than life now. Facts. Wrong. You're wrong. Technology always dictates the day, man. You got the answers to anything you could possibly want right in your pocket at all times of the day. It's unreal. Watch whatever you want to watch on TV. We got so many choices now, it's just insane. Cards are better. Everything is just better. It just is. And everything gets better with time, including athlete. Talk last week. There you go. There you go. Beep, some sad news here. Bob Sheridan passed away this week. Colonel Sheridan. Yeah, man. Fixture in boxing. Yeah. So, going to miss him, man. What was he, 70? He was 70-something, I think. Hang on. Let me see if I can get 79. I think I just said it, too. But, yeah, 79.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the come on. What are you doing here, Jose? Jose said he's not buying an electric car anytime soon. Oh, it's terrible. Favorite planet. Come on.
Yeah, do you have an electric car, Eric?
I've got a Prius, and it's not electric. It's just it's a hybrid.
It's a hybrid, right?
It's a hybrid, yeah.
Yeah.
Where like you don't like plug it in or anything like that. It's just like a hybrid. But I like it. I like it. I don't care. I don't want to buy gas. I mean, is that like, you know what I mean? Like anybody who's like balking at electric because you don't want, because what, you still want to buy gas? Really? Stop it. And all the cars are more efficient now anyway. Even the a lot of the EVs and everything and a lot of the hybrids, they're a lot more efficient. They're just making the cars more efficient now. Come on. But no, I went. It's like Robert, Ringside Robert, talking about, I want pay-per-views around. I like to have to pay for a fight. I like the feeling for paying for a fight. It makes it a big fight feel. Listen, it can be a big fight feel for free. I don't need to pay for everything. $80 for that big fight last night. That was great. 85? What was that, Beebe? Awful. Awful. All right. October 7th from Manchester, England, on the zone, Lee Wood versus Josh Warrington. 12 rounds for Wood's WBA featherweight title. I like Wood in that one. What about you?
I like Wood, yeah.
Yeah. On the zone later on that night, I'm assuming, Gilberto Ramirez versus Joe Smith Jr., 12 rounds cruiserweights. That's a good fight.
I like that, too.
That's a good fight. Not enough for me to get in the zone, but that's a good fight. That's a real good fight. There's some Canadian card with some chicks headlining. I don't think it's going to be on TV. Tokyo on October 7th. Pechmani CP Freshmart. That's his name. He's been the champion. That's what they do. Thailand fighters?
Yeah.
Will just carry, like, an advertisement as their name. He's fighting...
Yeah.
Yudai Shigioka, 12 rounds for CP Freshmart's WBC strawweight title, and he's been there for a while. Tomoki Kameda on the undercard versus Lorado Diamante, 12-round featherweights. And there you go. That's the news. That's the stuff for next week. That's it. All right, guys, that's going to do it. Now, next week, I will not be here. B will be here. But I will not be here next week as I am on assignment. How do you like that? So enjoy next week, and I will see you in a couple weeks. B will see you next week. And that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. If you want to catch Joe Habib on Twitter, at jhabib1 on X, I guess, YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com, and you can find me on Twitter at ringside73. Guys, have a great day. Enjoy the games today. We will see you next week.